Hey there, welcome to Altars Up Witches, a podcast that explores the roles of queer and trans artists and witches at the intersections of ritual, art, and community.
Join Kiki and Ilva every full and new moon for witch tips, a lunation reading, conversations, and guest interviews. Follow us on Instagram at The Living Altar for more information. Welcome to Altars Up Witches, a podcast that explores the roles of queer and trans artists and witches at the intersections of ritual, art, and community.
On this full moon episode, we have the pleasure of speaking to Diana, the frontwoman for the band Artemis. Diana is the writer of dreamscapes in song form, a vocal alchemist, and a student of angels. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this ingenue.
Okay. Check out the episode notes for more information on how to find Diana and her music.
Thank you so much and enjoy. So we're here with Diana and we're so excited.
Hello, first of all, thank you both for having me so much. My name is Diana Asenoth. I am the front woman of the band Artemis and also a conduit for the spirits that speak through me through vocal like practice. Mm. Music is my main practice of magic, and it's just been such an amazing journey. So I'm so happy to share it. Our first debut album called Diana, it came out on the 4th of December. Mm. And yeah, that's available on all streaming platforms, Tidal, Spotify, Apple Music, and it's also available on the Din Tapes Bandcamp. We were lucky enough to have a collab release between Din Tapes and Youth Riot, and so they're hosting our music on both of their sites. So very blessed to do that.
And we'll have links to all of that information also in the episode notes, so don't worry.
So I would love for you to share your Cash App handles and your social media handles so that folks listening at home can tip you through this conversation as they're listening, because I'm sure that, you know, there will be a lot to be received and mm-hmm. reflection and guidance through this conversation.
Well, I hope the same. And my Cash App handle is going to be DESV777. And my Venmo information is Diana_Ase. Yeah, so those will be the two ways that you could tip me if you feel so inclined.
Beautiful. And then what is your Instagram handle?
Yeah, so the Instagram for my band Artemis is A_RTM_S. But you can also find some of our merch and physical copies of our CDs and stuff on our site called Artemis Lives, ARTMS Lives, LIVES.com.
Beautiful. Well, I would love to begin a collective intention setting. So I'll have everyone close their eyes, and folks at home, if you would like to take a moment to also close your eyes, if that is possible right now. And if you want to just take a moment of silence, of calling your energy into the present time and moment that we're in, and just setting an intention that there be protection, that there be a sacred space that is created, that there be an intention of learning. And I acknowledge that we are facilitating this conversation at the Altars Up podcast on unceded Coast Salish in Duwamish territory. And I call into this space and time a beautiful benevolence, a sacred remembering of magic, a intention of reflection and listening, and a remembrance of our ancestors and the spirits that walk with us.
And I just ask everyone to breathe into their body and, as best as you can, arrive to that breath. Being near your body is sometimes enough if it's too hard to get there. So we just want to hold space for you, for us, to just arrive to ourselves as fully as we possibly can.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. Cause I know the spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Thank you so much for being here. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have these conversations with you.
I'm so happy.
I want to start with a question that you submitted to us. And the question is, when did you first believe in magic? When did you first not only believe in magic, but when did your voice find magic? Or when did you find magic through voice?
Okay, yeah, wow. you know, it's kind of crazy because I think that growing up in the environment that I grew up in, having been, you know, so active in church and things like that, I just always really felt drawn to singing and things of that nature. And I think that the people around me found out very early on that I had a gift with my voice. But I don't think that I truly connected to it until I was a little bit older. With music and with singing came such an anxiety that was really hard to shake. And it was more of like an experience that felt very outside of myself. There were times where I like kind of shocked myself. And I think the first time that I realized that I had a gift for singing, like I surprised myself. I think that the first time that I ever really felt connected to my voice though, wasn't even through singing. It was just through repetitive prayer and intention with my voice. And, you know, actually seeing things happen through those mantras and things like that. That was more of the moment when I realized like, okay, you know, there's more to the saying that I've heard, you know, from my mother of like the power of your tongue and the power that words hold. That was sort of the connection that I had to it. And so when it came to music and it came to singing, those two things didn't really connect for me for a couple more years. I felt that I had to grow a lot as a vocalist just to even kind of recognize what I was supposed to do with it, you know? I took a very traditional route. I was classically trained from about the time I was 11 years old. So from that period on until I was about 20 years old, I went through classical vocal training. And you're told in so many ways what to do with your voice and what ways to sing. And I was about 16 years old. So probably about halfway through that when I really decided like, well, this means something deeper to me. And I just kind of started to sing alone in my room to myself and write things for myself and not really share that. You know, for the first time, I felt like I wasn't really being thrust in front of a crowd to sing at church or being put in front of a group of like three people who were going to judge me on a scale of 1 to 10 or give me a rating of like the music that I was singing. It was more so like something that I really felt that I had to protect and to cultivate because I wanted something bigger out of it. You know what I mean? So
when you said the anxiety that comes with performance, like and for folks who haven't heard your music, we're going to play your music on this episode, but it's obvious that you have a connection to spirit, and it's obvious that the ancestors and the spirit moves through your voice. Like listening to you sing is a meditation. And as witches who also perform our rituals as art, there's a lot of anxiety that we experience, a lot of imposter syndrome, a lot of like, what if, a lot of, oh my God, they're gonna see us. And also being trans people and queer people, you know what I mean? Like showing up in our art, showing up in our power, showing up in our medium, it feels so vulnerable in these ways, but like the way that spirit moves through us and witnesses us and the vulnerability of being seen in divinity, being seen not only by divinity, but being seen in our own divinity, like, Can we talk about how that might be a paradigm shift to performance anxiety?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm glad that I asked you to elaborate on it just because it is a very, very real assessment of that experience and that process. The mantra that I sang for you at the beginning of this episode is one that I sang at the beginning of almost every show up until a certain point. And for me, it's not something that I wrote. It's something that's written by Indy Ari. It's at the beginning of, it's I think like track 6 on her second album, Words and Sounds. Like, and it's just, it really resonated with me. And it was something to kind of quell that anxiety within me and to also align me with the current moment. You know, allowing myself to be present. And something that I focus on a lot now in my meditation is stillness. Not only the stillness around us, but the stillness within. And like that mantra for me and connecting to whatever parts of me that are anxiety, because I mean, I can be transparent about the fact that I'm nervous even now talking through this interview, but it is important to know that, you know what I mean? That there is validity in the expression of these experiences. And that, I think that a lot of those, the what comes for me connecting to spirit and to connect to that through all that anxiety is recognizing that validity and not invalidating the gifts that spirit has given to me, and understanding that, that at a certain point of this, there's a lot that's bigger than me. You know what I mean? That's bigger than my ego, and that's bigger than my pride. And those things inevitably will inhibit me from sharing the things that spirit wants me to share through my music, through my words. And I think that, you know, we all kind of face that. We face that imposter syndrome, especially the fear of being misunderstood through your work. You know, when I named the album Diana, everyone kind of, I felt that I needed to explain that I didn't name it after myself, that the album named itself and then named me in the process. About the way that I knew when I called this band Artemis that the first project would be named Diana, and that along the process of writing this album, I discovered that I was a trans woman, and I discovered that Diana was the name that had been following me throughout my entire life, you know? And so the album for me was not to put a focus on me as Diana, but it was really to say, hey, there is this spirit that has a plan for this musical journey that I was a part of and that I was really happy to be a channel for. And that is still connecting to me to this day, that I still feel I have to, that I'm getting in touch with. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that the spirit is Diana herself, you know, much reverence to her, but I don't feel I have the authority to say that yet. You know what I mean? But it does feel good to know that, you know, I am doing it in a way that honors the process and the way it came to me. And so, yeah, it does feel often that we have to explain all those little things and that anxiety comes up. So, but anyways, yeah.
The power of inspiration doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like its source is something so much greater than ourselves, and it's so hard to identify sometimes and to name, or even if we can, it's constantly changing. As an artist, as a witch, as a queer person, as a trans femme, like being connected to the divine and then doing anything from that place of connection, for me, I often feel I used to feel a sense of inadequacy, but now I feel a sense of humility, like a smallness that is so, so profound. Mm-hmm. But that smallness can very easily, I think, through colonialism and through assimilation, be that smallness, that humility can be so discredited or like so invalidated because it's not the center. You're like, we're not the center of the experience.
Absolutely. It's almost like, how dare you step into this energy? Yeah, I agree with that.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, exactly. It's not who I think I am. It's who spirit knows that I am.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And being also, I think, I'll speak from personal experience too, like having those moments of being conduit for a larger energy of creation to move through me into my art is so intimate. And like there's that witnessing from the spirits, and sometimes I can't even name what that experience is until like 2 months later.
Absolutely.
We were talking to Sarah Gottesdiener the other day for an episode of her podcast, and she did a reading for me, and she said something. She was like, make art now, conceptualize it later. And like that blew my fucking mind. I was like, what? Uh-huh. Yes.
That makes so much sense, mm-hmm. too, because it's like, while it's happening and unfolding, it's like, I don't know, that's just this thing is happening. I'm not sure. I'm not even driving.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes me think of what you were saying about the story of the album, right? And a student of mine the other day said that they had an experience as a child of an older person coming to them and like helping them out of a really difficult situation. And it wasn't until this year that they realized that that person who came to them was themselves now. So like their present self went back in time and said, you need to do this. And they were like, then we can assume that there are future versions of ourselves who are time traveling to like kind of reset our path to kind of get us in line with what's coming next. And it makes me think like, you are Diana.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I mean, it is crazy because the way that things have unfolded and the way that, you know, my bandmates came into this situation, the way that I started doing music, even the way that I moved to Seattle, it's like in the year 2017, at the beginning of the year, like things were very comfortable for me. I remember I was working a job that paid me well. I was really stable. You know what I mean? I felt like I had these really flourishing relationships where I'm from. But I was like, this is going to be the year where my life changes. Like, I don't know why I feel this way, but I know that something huge is going to change this year. And then around May, my mom was just like, let's move to Seattle. I just feel led to. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? Let's do it. Like, I've been getting signs that say Seattle all this time. I think that you're right. You might be onto something. Let's just go. And my job transfer went smoothly. I moved here and things did not go smoothly for so long. But then when they did, it's like spirit just kept reminding me, like, you're supposed to be here. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like there was just a moment of like really God speaking to me about like, this is just what you're supposed to be doing. And what I think I had done at that point, what kind of triggered that like, you know, reaction from the universe was that I had these goals, but I had finally detached myself from the outcome. I had finally relinquished control of the way that I felt that those things were going to go. And in a way, I feel like almost my subconscious had always remembered, but I kind of let go of it and I was willing to wait on it. And I think that, you know, the spirit and my ancestors kind of intervened and were like, there's bigger purpose here and you need to move from this place of comfort in order to access that and be uncomfortable for a while, you know? So I'm glad I went through it. Sorry, I didn't mean to digress too much.
Oh,
no.
I think that tangents are femme magic.
Yeah.
I think tangents are an essential, like, element of queer sorcery. Like, if I don't know a single queer who can hold a linear conversation or life.
Especially if you're spiritual, then I don't know. Sometimes I'm talking to people and I'm like, I don't know if I should talk about this. I don't know if they're gonna think they're gonna walk away from this conversation.
That does lead me to my next question. How has your connection to the spiritual guided your art?
You know, I think that there have been, I mean, obviously growing up in church is like, you know, made me very familiar and aware of the spirit realm, my connection to that. I think at a very young age I kind of made myself vulnerable to some really bad spirits. And I suffered through afflictions for years as a result of that. And, you know, I think back to that time and it really took like an entire shift and change of environment to escape that and to escape that constant fear that I was living in. And I think that, you know, when you're called to something that, yeah, there's negative energy that will like, glom onto you or try to attach itself to you. So I definitely struggled with that for a very long time. And, you know, you don't really realize how deep set some of those struggles are until you start to unpack them and until spirit really starts to lay out your path for you in that way. And so I think that, like, connecting to it through music and actually starting to write my own music and stuff like that was finally the way where I was able to, like, not be afraid of whatever that was. And that, to not be afraid of spirits and to not be afraid of what spirits are were specifically around me, especially the ones that I was calling on all the time. Like, I mean, thinking back to it, it's like I was so afraid, but I knew that I had angels and I knew that I, you know, could pray to them and I knew that they were there and I could feel their light and sometimes actually tangibly see it, but I never really trusted it. And I never really trusted in myself or the power that I had to call upon them. I didn't really think that I mattered in the grand scheme of that. And so it was through music, I kind of just was like, you know, I realized there was power in what I said. I was like one of those kids who was a powerful manifester and I didn't really know how. And it's like, I'd have these ideas and I'd be like, I really wish things would go this way. And I would put this energy towards it, but I never really ever expected it to happen. And then I just realized one day, I was like, you know, this music has been the gateway for me to just manifest the things that I want. It's like, not only just me and my ego and to satisfy myself, but to like finally manifest that happiness, you know what I mean? Or to manifest that peace of mind. It's like, you know, that's always been something that I've turned to. Whenever I was upset, I always sang to myself. I always made songs up about what I was experiencing. And it really did isolate me a lot of the time from people who were close to me who didn't share that, who felt they couldn't share that with me. And that was really tough. But, you know, I think that I've learned to turn to myself and also to my guides and to really be at peace with the fact that this journey can be very lonely a lot of the time. Like when you're looking for any sort of enlightenment, it often is something you have to do alone for the majority of it. And that's been kind of scary, but also been very, very eye-opening, you know.
Beautiful.
When you were speaking about the spirits who you were initially in relationship with being, like, potentially unhelpful, potentially dangerous, and then the way that you spoke about finding kind of, like, sanctuary in yourself through song and finding comfort through the isolation of your not knowing how to be in relationship with spirits can be very isolating for children, adults, everyone, particularly without any kind of confirmation or affirmation from those around us, right? It's like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. We hear that also as artists, not just as witches. We hear that as queer people. We hear that as trans folks. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, there's something, like, we're so used to, I think, being groomed to abandon ourselves because we're so, quote, different or outside of normative, that it can feel really maybe, like, vulgar sometimes to be in those relationships. So when I hear you say that, I'm like, oh, like, I there's a deity in Greek culture called Balboa. She's like a vagina. She's a giant vulva with legs. Whoa. She's just a giant vagina with legs, and all she does is like tell nasty jokes. And she's a goddess of vulgarity. And so like people invoke her for the sacred act of disruption. And I pray to her as like this queer femme like icon because you know, she's just like basically like a walking like nasty joke. And I feel like I feel like
y'all know that I don't have pants on now. So.
Yeah.
Oh no.
We love it. now so does everyone else. Yeah. We'll always pause for pantless. It just makes me think, like, how do we like honor the relationships, even with the like the tormenting experiences or like the dangerous experiences or the harm and the hurt in our lives. Like, how do we work with those experiences as artists, as witches, as queer people, as trans folks? How do we work with those energies? Because we that's what we've got, right? Like, we have good experiences, we have bad experiences, and like, we also have to, like, make from all of those experiences. So I'm just curious, like, how do you make from those experiences of those spirits or those moments of isolation?
I do have an answer for that, but Kiki, I wanted to ask you what you thought about that before I answered it, because I'm interested to see what practices you use to kind of deal with that as well.
So something that's coming to mind right now is I've been working, and when you were talking about the Greek goddess of the walking nasty joke, I keep thinking about Medusa.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about the vulgar, or like the banished, or like those that are like those like outcasts, or like that in which like we're afraid of, or I've been really working with this idea lately around reclaiming that, or working with it and remything those experiences, or like relationship to those experiences. So that's something that was coming to mind through that.
Will you expand a little bit about the idea of remything?
Yeah, so the idea of remything is taking a narrative or a belief or a role. I think about this a lot around the role of scapegoat as well. And taking it in this way that we can transform it through storytelling. Really like dissolve cords to that which is harmful, or that which has been oppressive, or that which has been violent, and actually take and kind of extract magic or potency from it, and then transform it through our own story, remything it, like taking the magic from it and creating a new story. And that can be done through, I mean, the way I do it is through, I like to do it through tarot, is maybe my favorite way, but also through writing poetry or, a song or a piece of art, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then it's like almost creating this whole new trajectory or timeline that we can draw power from.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that that's been a major part of how I've kind of tried to reshape that experience in my mind and to sort of deal with it. Because I think that, you know, with a growth mindset, we can really change a lot of the ways that our experiences have shaped us, and to see how they've like helped to mold us and help us. But it did take time. You know what I mean? I think that if you don't really forget the scars or those things, and as someone who grew up with a very Christian background, it's like a lot of the struggles that you face spiritually, physically, or what is deemed a struggle, even like transness or sexuality, those are, you know, seen as afflictions. And I had to kind of learn to separate those things that which I was told were afflictions from what actually were. And some of those afflictions came from those people who came with, I mean, for lack of a better metaphor, torches and pitchforks at me for who they could see that I was. You know what I mean? That affliction was on almost the same level as the spiritual affliction that I was feeling. And it's a lot for a young person to go through. It really can crush. And I mean, I don't say this to say that I'm any sort of victim. I believe that I have overcome a lot of things, and I see myself as a survivor. But I mean, throughout the physical and things that I experienced and things like that, I really did have to take time to say, what in this experience has shaped me for the better? And what in this do I need to forgive and let go? What is not my responsibility to bear anymore? What can I give to spirit? You know, what can I learn? And it is painful at times, you know. I think that through the music, through writing about some things, and, you know, I feel like even still, like, I only allude to a lot of those experiences. You know, people who are close to me, they know the truth. And I do think that sometimes when we're writing and expressing these experiences through mediums, we feel like, well, maybe no one will connect with it. Maybe I should explain every intricacy of it, you know, because I don't want it to be misunderstood. But I've realized that there's so much power in just, you know, speaking what truth is to you and then allowing people to reflect upon that so that they can see themselves in your experience, you know. Someone who I really respect taught me about that. His name is Brian McDonald, and he's a writer, and he told me, you know, that real artists, you know, when they're telling their story, they fall away, and, you know, the person who is viewing or listening is revealed. And so I've always carried that, and I carried that through me through the end of the process. I learned that a little after I started to write the music. So I say this to say that, you know, even though a lot of this was me channeling that energy and what I felt like, you know, getting in touch with my divine feminine, there are parts of this album that were written from the ego, and, you know, parts of it that were written from, you know, places that aren't positive and negative. But I do think that those experiences are valid, you know, and really, I'm still human, you know.
Absolutely. It makes me think about, like, with witchcraft and magic, there's always something kept secret. You know, there's always something kept private, you know, and like what we do in our own personal relationship with our magic and our craft isn't necessarily what we share with others, even those closest to us. Yeah, and I think that's even true about art. Like, I always love, I can feel, particularly in your album, I can feel like there's so many private moments that are kind of like we're walking through, but we're not touching.
I love to hear that.
Yeah, it's really, it's so beautiful. Yeah.
The glass menagerie.
Yeah.
Gosh. I mean, I think we've talked, you know, I would like to think I'm a very personal person, but I am also a very private person. It's another part of the reason I'm really glad to come and talk in depth about these things. It's just because I love sharing stuff like this, but I also, like, there's a part of me that's like super protective of these things and these experiences. And I think that comes with that, you know, that bitch imposter syndrome that we mentioned earlier, but it's like, you know, I don't really think that people should know what I've been through to get to the place that I am. I really just want to show them that. I want that to speak for itself.
Yeah.
But I think that at the same time, like, these stories are valid. You know what I mean? Everyone has a story. So thank you for allowing me to share mine. I know we're not done, but I really wanted to express.
So I would love to ask the final question. How has being a Black trans woman affected your journey into the music scene and the music industry?
I mean, you know, it's kind of, this question is one that there are just so many different types of trans women who are in art mediums. So many who have inspired me. And I think that I am fortunate to be doing it in a place like Seattle, where the identity of a Black trans woman sort of raises people's ears and people sort of perk up, and like, that's an experience that they feel that they know is marginalized. So they want to know, like, what's behind it, you know, but it's also kind of like that internal battle of like, you don't want to feel like an anomaly when you're just doing what feels true to you. You know what I mean? So it's definitely been hard. I think that, I mean, that goes without saying. I've had a great support from my bandmates and from the people who, you know, helped me release my album. I had friends, you know, who were really open-handed and open-hearted with me about this experience. You know, I had my friend Kay over at Tin Tapes, and I had my friends Daniel and Spencer at Youth Riot really just kind of pour into me a lot of what they believed and saw from my art. And my bandmates, Seth and Pete, like really have just supported me in all of the things that I have really been going after, and some maybe outlandish, but it's like, I really think that they believe in my manifestation abilities. Yeah. Because there were so many times when I just said, I want to play this venue. And like next week, like they would reach out to me and be like, hey, someone that's completely removed from the situation mentioned you to us to play for this. We need somebody to open for this. And that's my awesome. Thing at the beginning was like, I'm not going to say no to anything. You know what I mean? I'm going to say yes to every show. But there is that thought of in my mind, well, it's like, well, are they just booking me so that there's a black act on the bill? You know, or do people really want to hear what it is? And then I eventually just had to say, fuck it. Like, it doesn't matter if that's why, you know what I mean? That's not for me to know. Spirit doesn't care if I know that or not. Like, why would I preoccupy myself with what negative prospect of it when I have the opportunity to share what Spirit shared with me, when me and my bandmates have this opportunity to share something that we've worked really hard on, you know?
Yeah.
And it really kind of took me out of that defeatist mindset of like, I'm black, I'm trans. Like, I know that that's always going to be a part of who I am. But it's like, when I came to the shows, it was like, I came and I still, you know, I don't drink. I don't really eat. I mean, which is not exactly my favorite thing. And my bandmates can attest that I am not the most friendly right before shows. But I definitely don't want anything in the way of what I'm there to do. I take my art so seriously. And I don't, and I think that, like, you know, being black and trans, that's always going to be something that is a part of my story and my journey. Like, you hear that in the music. Like, but I didn't want to ever, I say this at risk of it maybe being a controversial statement, I'm not sure, but it's like, I didn't want to use identity politics to sell this album or to sell these lyrics or to say, like, hey, support a black trans artist and listen to my art album. It's like, fuck, like, just listen to the goddamn music.
Right.
Like, if you identify with it, you identify with it. Like, my parents even asked me, they're like, well, do you feel like people will be alienated because, you know, you're writing from a trans experience? And I was just like, I don't really, I mean, I care, but I don't care about that. Like, if you don't like it, I didn't write it for you. And I mean, I hate to sound that way, but it's like, it's not. That's what Solange says. It's like, you don't like it, I didn't make it for you. And that's really the truth. It's like, I really wanted us as a band to be able to show who we were. I was really blessed to, I am really blessed to play with people who trust me and trust my vision and also support me expressing myself and who I am in any way. Like, and that's so valuable to have. And I mean, I see other trans women that are doing this and who are doing music. And that's amazing to me because it takes so much support to get out there and put yourself out there and be confident in the way that you're presenting yourself. And to even record yourself on video and to be able to watch that as you're transitioning is like something that is so crazy that I've had to experience. Like, that dysmorphic sort of place that you get in, it can be so dark.
Yeah.
And I've had people around me that were like able to just really encourage me to do things that I really wanted to do, that like, even though my mind and my psyche were pushing against, like, like recording a music video was something that I've always wanted to do, but I was so scared. I was like, I'm gonna keep transitioning and I'm not gonna look like this ever again. Like, I probably won't look like this next month. Like, that's the reality of this. And like, seeing myself and not particularly liking that or being satisfied with that didn't matter, because there's a message that's bigger than me that people need to understand. It wasn't about me. And the having people support you through that is so, I'm really lucky. I think that being black and being trans in this industry is hard. It's really tough. Like, but I want to encourage any trans artists to keep going and to do it your way. Like, it's okay to be yourself. And even if people, you know, people will call you all sorts of things. Like, they'll pigeonhole you, but you really have to do what feels right to your heart, because your future self is watching you, and so is your younger self. Like,
that's right.
Your inner child is watching, and they want to see you achieve the things that you felt like you maybe couldn't at some point in your life.
Well, it is. I mean, it I think it's almost impossible to separate the feelings from the reality, you know, of what you're saying. Yeah. And I think that whether or not our art is about transness or any aspect of our identity, people will always assume it is because of whatever programming they're subscribing to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I say this, I love trans art. It's a super sustaining force of my like art itself. People like who I used to watch, like Juliana Huxtable when I was younger, mm-hmm. all of her visual art, like, so inspiring to me. And I saw shape a lot of like trends that are happening still mm-hmm. today. You know what I mean? People like Rashida Renee on Tumblr, mm-hmm. who just had this eye for fashion and like created these insane mood boards that the girls are still stealing from. It's like, you know, people who I really just was able to watch from afar as like an egg, like truly someone who didn't even know that they were trans, but just watching some people be in their power, and women who were Black and unapologetically like direct about what it was that they wanted and knew. And I really tried to carry that energy with me into any show, you know, into any sort mm-hmm. of setting that was white male dominated, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And sometimes it means telling a sound guy, I don't like that, or I don't want this, or I do want this, and I won't accept that. And like, we, as a Black person, especially in this city, it's like, it's hard as fuck to stand up for what it is that you want without being seen as aggressive or as attacking mm-hmm. someone. You know what I mean? So it's been my community that's uplifted me and given me the power to do that. You know, I don't know. I feel like I kind of got off track there. So forgive me. I'll roll it back. I'm getting impassioned now.
Yes, we love it.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. I mean, yeah, but I've been really blessed with the people who have been around me. And I also have, like, the scene has had so much amazing music to inspire me throughout it.
On that note, who and or what are your current inspirations right now? Like, what's keeping you grounded? What's calling you home?
Oh man. Oh gosh. I'm in a phase. I'm between albums for the Artemis Project. I already have the second album title and concept in my head. I'm writing music for that. But in this downtime, especially when I'm spending so much time alone and it's harder to kind of like connect with my bandmates, I'm working on my solo project, which I'm really excited about. Just kind of talking about getting into like my hip hop roots, my R&B roots, really digging into that and digging my heels in. So I've been revisiting a lot of stuff. I've been revisiting like a lot of early Deborah Cox, Toni Braxton, kind of like explores some like more house sounds like Patrice Rushen. Minnie Riperton is a super big inspiration for me and my project Artemis, and also Sade. So there's going to be elements of that. And then just, yeah, you know, I really want to, I'm inspired by women who have fun and who are unapologetic. Like my friend Mimi, who goes by Machete on stage, is just such a great, we adore Mimi and the work that she does. And I think that, like, you know, it's been great to kind of have her as a confidant, especially through this transition. It's been so nice to have someone who, like, when I can call and be like, this is happening to me. Like, is this normal? Like, you know what I mean? Or this is, I'm feeling this way. Like, you know, it's so great to have people like that. So she's always inspiring me. I'm super inspired by like animalistic women right now and these like anthropomorphic sort of hybrid women. So I've really been obsessed with like Catra from She-Ra and like, you know, the character Cheetah from the Wonder Woman comics, which Wonder Woman 84 just came out. I was very into that because I was like, I need to see how they do this. I'm a big comic book person. Like I am big into comics. I'm more of a Marvel girl, like X-Men all the way. But when it comes to, when it comes to my Wonder Woman, I am specific. So with that being said, I think that they, I'm really inspired by that, that sort of, that the dichotomy of woman and how she is always like depicted as feline and that sort of energy. And I think as trans women, you're kind of discouraged. I mean, there's two polarizing spectrums of it. It's like, you're either super over-sexualized and everything that you do is sexualized like to within a T, or it's like no one's sexualizing you because you just haven't come into it, or you're not passing enough, or you don't feel like you can really own that energy. Like you're in that kind of limbo where you're not presenting the way that you want to, so you don't feel sexy. And I mean, I think that I've just been trying to discover, like, what does sexuality mean to me outside of colonialism and outside of my Christian teaching? And outside of like, you know, what is it that I want, you know, outside of any sort of like thing or harm that I have experienced, you know what I mean? Any sort of abuse. It's like, what does that look like? So that sort of like Catwoman sort of feels very, it's super inspiring. So that's something I hope to delve into with this solo project. And I want to kind of talk about that some more. So anyways.
A little Eartha Kitt, Catwoman.
Oh my God. Oh
delicious.
My goodness. Always. Eartha has so many great things to say all the time.
All the time.
Love that.
I love this idea of like the hybrid woman.
Me too.
As like a, it's like a trans alter ego.
I've been drawing them like nonstop. Like all of the girls that I've been drawing are like some sort of cat hybrid and stuff. And it's, it was started as like a kind of like joke to myself, and then it just kept happening. I'm like, maybe I'm onto something, and I don't really, I don't, you know. But there's also, I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just,
we're just like,
just nodding.
I mean, I just, I think that it's, there's so much stigma as around virginity and chastity, and like my character, especially Diana, and this album is like, I wanted to focus on that, the virginal sort of aspect of the feminine, especially because as a young trans woman, especially like newly trans, I really wanted to reclaim a part of that girlhood that I never got to experience, especially as a trans woman whose childhood was like sort of ripped out of her hands at a very young age, just due to trauma. It's like the concept of the fact that I was visited, like that Diana channeled me in, like that was something that I was really had to unpack. And, you know, I adopted a lot of her principles, you know, and even still, like practicing chastity and celibacy is like something that has been really key to my spiritual journey. And it's very tough at times. I mean, I don't want to get into that too much because that ain't everybody's business, but like, really, I do think that like, it's okay to kind of lean more into that Selene energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, to understand, or that Empress energy, you know, the woman who is finally like realizing her sexuality. So I hope it's not too early. I'm sure Spirit will tell me to call it back, but you know, We'll see.
Yeah. So we were curious if you want to share any witch tips or inspirations. This can also be a space for your music to be heard, because I feel like that's really important that the audience and the listeners hear that. So whatever you're feeling called to share.
I mean, I think that the song River from my album is probably the most spiritual one. Super stripped, just kind of like a guitar-based vocals sort of thing. And
tell me your secrets, river, oh river. still grow.
The lyrics are, just try and reside in me, let me be the air you breathe. If I am just your muse, relinquish my visage to me. So that part of the song is just basically about looking into the water and seeing a version of yourself that's trapped, obviously, like within that reflection. It's like, if I'm just, if you're just reflecting or mirroring me, then why can't I have that part of myself back? Like, that reflection has something that I want. And the song is just really like one of the truest writing experiences. You know, me and a person who I started this project with, his name is John Paul Russell. We wrote this song. We didn't have access to our normal practice space, and he just had his guitar, and I really was just channeling this sort of melody that I had in my mind. And I didn't stop until we were done with the song. But, but it really is just about like connecting to that other side of yourself and like feeling so far but so close. So but I'm as far as my own personal practice and stuff like that, I have a couple of mantras that I say before my tarot, you know what I mean? And a lot of the time I'll sing the things that I want to ask spirit during my practice. But I'd be more than happy to share one of those mantras, or
if
this is the place for that. The mantra that I usually repeat, if everyone would just kind of close their eyes and really allow themselves to be present in this moment, to focus on their breathing and breathe into their heart. And I just say, I am divine. I am feminine. I am sacred. I am loved. And I am whole. I am divine, I am feminine, I am sacred, I am loved, I am whole. But that's just, that's the one that I try to affirm pretty often, but yeah, I hope that that was, and so it is.
And so, so it is. Gosh, I felt that in my body.
That was so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share the things that I have. It's just, it's been so, so amazing to share this with you too. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
make sure to follow our guest and follow us on Instagram at The Living Altar for more information and upcoming rituals and conversations.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a comment and some positive feedback for this podcast. And tune in every new and full moon for new episodes.